has been good to us. No doubt he's blessed us more than we deserve. And I want to share with you some thoughts this morning that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. Now, Lamentations is a book that is written after the book of Jeremiah. It was written, I believe, by Jeremiah. And what we find in that passage, or in the passages of Scripture in Lamentation, is a series of dirges. It's songs of mourning, but it's written on the backdrop of the Babylonian invasion and the destruction of Jerusalem. In these verses, we're going to find that these people were enduring some awful suffering. They were going through some very hard times. So the reason, I guess, folks sometimes stay away from this book is because it's so full of sadness and many times so filled with mourning. Yet still, through all the pain and the turmoil, God still had a man. And I want to submit to you today that, thank God, God still has men. And I'm grateful today to be a part of that and be a man of God that can come to the house of God and preach to the people of God in order that we might be strengthened and encouraged by the faith of God. But this man I'm talking about today was a man by the name of Jeremiah. Now, I'm going to share with you some things about Jeremiah in just a little bit. He's known in the Bible as the weeping prophet. I've often related to him because most of you know that many times I very easily sometimes get emotional. And sometimes things maybe get to me. But I think about Jeremiah, and a study of his life reveals that he was a portrait much of his life of sadness and deep depression. I told somebody, and I mention this often, it's so easy to get depressed. And I want to encourage you, in these days, it's easy to get depressed. I mentioned that I've, of course, not been able to walk on my foot now for going on 5 weeks. I've got a couple more weeks to go. I've had to kind of stick around the house. Then all this came, dealing with the fact that the church not being able to meet and the people not being able to be here and to see them, to fellowship with them and enjoy the fellowship with them. I've noticed that it's easy, even in a preacher, to get a little bit depressed and discouraged. But let me just give you a little bit of a thought this morning as we begin to think about Jeremiah. And I'll be to my outline in just a little bit, but I've got quite an introduction here that I want to share with you about Jeremiah. The first thing we know about Jeremiah, he received an unwanted call from God. Now, to be honest with you today, I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong and people understand. I think it's a wonderful thing to be a man of God. But if you're not ready for the responsibilities that God's going to place upon you, then you might not be too eager for that call. Jeremiah was not eager for the call of God upon his life. In fact, God had to tell him in Jeremiah 1, verse 9 and 10, he said, "Even before you were born, I knew you in the womb of your mother." God had to assure him that he was calling him and that he was one that was in control. He was called into a ministry quite like anybody else would have ever been called to. I can't imagine, we've been so blessed with our church and the fellowship and the people and the attendance and people coming to the house of God. And my, what a blessing it's been through the years. But Jeremiah had one thing that God wanted him to do. He wanted him to preach. His whole life in ministry was to preach judgment. Now, friend, I'm going to be honest with you. I preached the judgment of God. I preached a few weeks ago on hell. I tell you, I preached those things, but I love preaching about the goodness of God. I love preaching about the love of God. I love preaching like I am this morning on the faithfulness of God. But here's Jeremiah, a very unusual man. And think about it, folks. We're so blessed. Here's Jeremiah getting a call that literally he was not looking for. He's given a ministry of preaching judgment. And I tell you, people don't think kindly toward judgment. Second of all, he was forbidden to marry. The reason for that is God said, "I want you to give yourself fully to the ministry. I want you to preach. I want you to be faithful in preaching the Word of God." There's nothing wrong with being married, and God ordains that in several cases. But he also says that it's better if you cannot remain single, that you could give more of yourself to the Lord in all that you do. So here's Jeremiah. He didn't expect the call. He got a call, and the call was preaching judgment. That, you know, literally, that's all he was to preach. And he was forbidden to marry, so he knew what it was like to be lonely. He was a man of deep sadness, according to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. I don't have time to go through all the verses for you. But he endured depression as a result of his message and the unbelief of the people for so long. Jeremiah was mocked. He was laughed at. He was in prison. He was placed in a cistern, which is nothing more than a septic tank. And he was placed down there for his faithfulness in preaching the word of God. We find that in all the 50 years that Jeremiah preached, we don't find the record of not one single convert. I'm going to be honest with you. It's depressing even in our day when we don't see people getting saved like we ought to be seeing people getting saved and God working the way that he should. But can you imagine preaching and preaching for all that time and seeing nobody saved by the grace of God? I'm telling you today, Jeremiah was a man that had gone through it. He had suffered being imprisoned by King Zedekiah because the king did not approve of his preaching, according to Jeremiah 32:5. Even the Babylonians were invading the city in fulfillment of the prophecy that he had preached. I mean, it was happening. You know, today, if there's anything that comes out of all this, people need to wake up and understand that this may be God sending judgment upon a wicked nation that's turned their back on God. And I tell you what we need to pray for. We need to pray for an anointing and for the power and the Spirit of God to indwell us. And I tell you, when it's over, I understand now people being skeptical, but it ought to drive people back to the house of God. But what did they do to Jeremiah? They punished him. They did everything they could to imprison him. And yet these declarations, here he is sitting in a dungeon, Jeremiah 32:2. No doubt he was feeling sorry for himself. And when all this happened, let me tell you something good about Jeremiah. I think if I'd have been preaching judgment for 50 years and nobody had gotten saved and nobody listened to me and people made fun of me and the judgment of God would begin to fall, I tell you, I'd have to be careful that I would not say, "I told you so." But Jeremiah didn't do that. In fact, he becomes broken for his remnant, and he enters into suffering with them according to Lamentations chapter 1 through 5. And that's what we're going to be dealing with today. After being rejected, hated, mocked, and imprisoned, Jeremiah literally began to lament with them as he still stands forth in the midst of the rubble of the city, the bodies of the dead. He continues to lift up his voice in praise to God. I'll tell you today, folks, it's not a matter of where God is. It's a matter of where we are in our relationship with God that really makes a difference in our life in times like these. Despite his trials, Jeremiah had gotten a good grasp of reality of who God is. Friend, I'm telling you, I'm almost 70 years old, and I tell you, I've seen the hand of God. I've seen the power of God. I've seen God work like maybe you have not, but maybe you have. But I know one thing, God will be found faithful. Jeremiah knew that whether things went well or where everything would fall upon him, God would still be God, and that God would eternally be faithful to his people. Friend, today I want to assure you today, God will not let you down. Here's what it said, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. And I know my message has been a little confusing for the person that's changing the slides, but I'll tell you when I get to my first point because I had quite an introduction this morning. But look at verse 21 of chapter 3. Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Friend, I tell you today, the reason we have hope is because we can recall to our mind the goodness of God in our life. I think today many of you would even be able to relate and say, "God has been good to me. I've seen the hand of God work in my life. God's been faithful to me. God's never let me down." But I'm going to tell you, many of us have not gone through what Jeremiah went through. And I'll be honest with you, our country, whatever's happening today, listen, it may be something that people are worried about and scared about, but I can tell you this, God is still in control. He controls every breath I breathe and every step I take, and God will see us through because he cares about us. Many times, like Jeremiah, we fall on hard times, and there's a lot of people going to go through it. But I think of what Fanny Crosby wrote when she penned those words, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Thank God today we have the Word of God. I tell you today, you can watch Fox News if you want to, but you won't get much hope. You can watch CNN if you want to, but you won't get much hope. You can watch CNBC if you want to, and you're not going to get much hope. But you can come and hear the Word of God, and it's filled with hope, and it's filled with joy that comes in our life. The word faithfulness, that we find in verse number 23. The Bible said, "For they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." The word faithfulness means firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, or steadiness. The word pictures God as the one in whom we can depend. Friend, today the answer is not, and I appreciate what our president's doing. I thank the Lord that he's taking precautions, and I think we've got to do what's being done. But friend, today I believe we've been overwhelmed with fear in our country. And literally, the fear monger has gotten on our back. And we fail to understand that we have nothing to fear. We have God. And again, I'm not saying be foolish. We're taking precautions here. I'm just simply saying God has been, will be, and is going to be faithful in our life. And we ought to be thankful for that. And I want you to think with me this morning as we think along these lines. This I recall to mind, the faithfulness of God. The first truth I want you to see this morning, this will be my first point, is in his compassion, God is faithful. I want to read to you verse 21. I've already read it. He said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not." I'm glad today that, first of all, that we understand God is faithful, because when I think in my mind, I'm reminded of the mercy of God. Do you understand today? I don't even deserve to be here. Thank God I have the health to be able to be here and to preach the Word of God to you. But I'm telling you, the reason I'm here is because God's blessed me far beyond measure. He's blessed me more than I deserve. I tell you, I was nothing but a hell-bound sinner on my way to hell. And thank God, he died, sent his son Jesus to die for me. And I'm thankful that one day he got through to me and I turned my life over to him. And he's been faithful ever since. He reminds us of the mercies of God. I think back in my life, and I don't have time to spend a lot of time on it this morning going through it. But I'm going to tell you today, all of us can think about the mercy of God's in our life. We could probably name times and places and things that God has shown his mercy to us. Friend, it's the mercy of God today that he's even allowed you to get out of bed this morning. It's the mercy of God that he's allowed you to come here this morning. It's the mercy of God that those of you who are watching that you're able to even get on. It's the mercy of God that we even have internet that we can provide to those who cannot come in order that they might hear the word of God. And I tell you today, quit thinking about the future and start thinking about the past. Remember, God has never failed us. Second of all, refresh us in our misery. He said in verse number 23, we find here, he said, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I'm grateful today that he refreshes us every day that we live in our ministry, in our work, every day that we live. God encourages us. Now, how do you get that? You don't get it by ignoring God. You don't get it by ignoring the Word of God. You get it by being faithful to God and understanding that every day the blessings of God. Listen, every day we live, and I've been quite taken back. I still say, and I pray it continues this way. This virus has been bad, but I tell you what, it hadn't reached near the proportion of what things in the past have reached, for which I'm grateful. But I'm taken back with how people are dying so quickly. Over in Italy, I'm glad today not to be in Italy. Italy, the other day, I think in one day, they had 600 and something deaths. I tell you today, it's the mercy of God. Every day that we get up, it's the refreshing that God gives to us each day as we arise to serve him. And then it's to revive us in our mission that God has given. I want you to understand in verse 22, why? Because his compassions fail not. The Bible said when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Friend, I'm telling you today, if there's anything Christians need, we need compassion one upon another. We need the compassion on the sick and those that need help in their life and in their ministry. Things to understand that God's compassions fail. Listen to me, God cares about us. God cares about, listen to me, don't you think if Jesus died for us that he cares about us and he's not going to allow anything to harm us until he's through with us? And I'm grateful today that God's still in control. His hand is still on the controls of life as we serve Him and are faithful to Him. And I tell you this morning, I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged, first of all, to be in my pulpit preaching the Word of God. I'm encouraged today that many of you are sitting before me listening to what I'm saying. But I'm also encouraged that we've got another audience that is listening today by way of internet. And however you're hearing the Word of God this morning, please understand God is faithful in all that He does. His compassions fail not. I was reminded of a song that I wanted to, I'm not going to sing it to you. I wouldn't do that to you. But I thought I might just read a couple of stanzas of it. It was written several years ago by a man by the name of Andre Crouch. It was called Through It All. And I tell you, through it all, we're going to make it. He said, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. And then he goes on to say, through it all, oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend on God. I'm just going to read that last verse. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. And then he goes on to say, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Him. Friend, I'm telling you today, sometimes, isn't it amazing? We better listen to the words of the songs we sing. And we better understand whether we really mean it or not. Because when times like this come, I tell you, to sing that song, we've got to understand that we've learned that God is still God. And we've got to understand today that God is still in control. And listen, you keep on going and you keep on doing what is right. I don't think we need to be foolish. I don't think we need to do things that would bring harm to anyone. And I surely would hate to know that I had caused somebody else sickness or problems. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep on serving God. I'm going to keep on being faithful to God. I told somebody the other day, the only way I wouldn't be here, and I couldn't be, if I got that, I surely would not bring myself to this place. But I'm sure I've got somebody that would sit in for me and fill in for me, and I know that I do. But again, just keep on going. God will see you through. Listen, don't fret. Don't worry. God is still in control. Second of all, we see, first of all, His compassions. Second of all, His character. God is faithful. Friend, I tell you, the same God that was the God of Jeremiah is the same God that's the God of coronavirus. I tell you today, I was somewhat troubled this week when I picked up the paper and somebody made the statement, and this was the statement that they made. They said, you know, they said, man, where's God during the coronavirus? I tell you, it made the hair stand up on the back of my head. And I went and I clicked on it and I was fixing to give that guy, I was going to see who he was and I was going to write him a letter. But to my surprise, it was a good thing about where God was. It wasn't a bad thing about where God was. He said, God's the same place as always been. He said, God's still in control. God knows what's going on. And he said, what people don't understand is all the tragedies and all the things that's happened in America, to see the goodness of God through His people that have stepped up to help people restore. He said, they don't ask where God is then. They don't say, well, there's God in those people that are rebuilding somebody's house. There's God in those people that are taking food to somebody that's sick or has the virus. They don't see the good things that people are doing, and it's God that's doing it through them. Yet today, listen, that's a sad statement to say, where's God, and blame Him for all this. Friend, if anything, I believe, and I don't know, and I have no facts about it, but I tell you, the Bible teaches us that in last days, perilous times are going to come, and God may be using this to try to turn people back to God. And I tell you, we need to take advantage of it. We need to be faithful, and we need to do what God would have us to do, in order that we might see people continue to serve Him. His character, what kind of character does God have? Well, He has a kind of character that He's always present. You know, I was assured this morning that somebody was going to show up. You said, well, preacher, you knew some of it. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm glad you came. But I knew God was going to show up. I tell you, he promised me he would. He said, listen, he told me in his words. He's given me all that I need to know. By the way, he said in verse 22, it is the Lord's mercies that we're consumed because his compassions fail not. And yet we see the presence of God in our life and in all that we do. We understand who God is and what he's doing. He promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Friend, when I got in the truck and came to church this morning, guess what? God came with me. And I'll tell you, when I get in my truck and go home this afternoon, God's going with me. And he'll be back tonight. And I appreciate the opportunity to stand here, well, sit here, and preach the Word of God. But I want you to know tonight the presence of God, to know that it's real. I tell you, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And then we see the performance of God. In Lamentations verse 23, we've already talked about it. But they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The word faithfulness just means someone you can depend on. Somebody you don't have to worry about. Somebody you can. Listen, I tell you, thank the Lord for people in this church that are faithful. I appreciate people that are faithful. You just know they're going to be faithful and they're going to do whatever needs to be done and they're great help. And I appreciate that. That is a blessing and encouragement to me. But I tell you the character of God, God cannot be unfaithful because God said he would be faithful. And he is and he will and he's going to be. The Bible said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, God's hand's on me, and God's going to continue to protect me. God's going to continue to watch over me, and God's going to continue to use me until he calls me home and his work has been completed in my life. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think. I tell you what my prayer is today. I pray that starting today, that the numbers would start going down. I pray the deaths would start going down. You said, oh, that ain't going to happen. Well, let me tell you something. I got a God in heaven that can make it happen if it's his will. I'm not saying it will happen, but we sure ought to be praying it would and praying for God's hand to restore us back to the place we need to be as a church. And I'll tell you something, whether you're listening by way of internet or whether you're listening here today, I need to tell you something. We need, when we get back to regular services and regular going like we ought to be going, it ought to break our heart. It ought to convict us. It ought to make us committed to being more faithful to God and doing more to serve God and to reach God in times like this. I think about how many people that may have died with the coronavirus that maybe you could have witnessed to. And I know we haven't had any around here, so maybe the chances are slim, but it could be family in some far state. But I tell you today, you could have witnessed to, but you failed to, and you didn't do what God would have you to do. Not only do we see God's character provides his presence, not only do we see that it shows us his performance daily, but then notice the provision of God. The Bible said in Lamentations 3:23, for they are new every morning. You know, that reminds me of the children of Israel. They wandered in the wilderness. They didn't have anything to eat. And I tell you what, God provided for them everything they needed. He sent manna from heaven. You know, we stop and think, this is really bad. And it is bad. But it's not even on the radar compared to some of the things Jesus did for the people in their times of need, really. If you stop and think about it, am I not right? And the fact is, God has blessed people. I don't know how in the world he sent all that food. Listen, I told one time the statistics of how many box truck car loads of manna it would have took to fed everybody every day. Listen, that was no menial task. But God is no menial God. And God is the deliverer. And today, the provision of God in our life. I think about what the psalmist said, and I can say it with him. Psalm 37, verse number 25. It said, I am young, and now I am old. But he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I'll tell you, all my life, there was times growing up that we didn't have as much. There was times we ate a lot of sandwiches. We're doing that a lot now, by the way. But I do appreciate my wife. She's cooking some meals, too, and I appreciate that. But back in the day, you had to, sometimes we just got a sandwich, a bologna sandwich. You say that to young people today, and they turn their nose up. Man, bologna's pretty good. I tell you, I love bologna, however you say it. I love a little bologna sandwich. We used to eat a little cereal. Now, I hated oatmeal. But you know what? I have been blessed by God. I don't believe I've ever gone hungry. I don't never believe I've ever gone without having provision of clothes. You said that's because your mom and dad worked hard. It was because my mom and dad worked hard. But I had a mom and dad that trusted God. A mom and dad that took me to the house of God. A mom and dad that knew that God was on the throne and that He would meet every need that we had. And I thank God for that. Testify about the faithfulness today of God's character in our life. I think today how important it is to understand God's character is so great in all that we do. We see today that in His compassions, He's been faithful in His character. God is faithful. But I want you to see today, God has been faithful. You know, I said something a while ago about where God was. To the people that are recovering, I bet they say, He was with me. He was with me. You say, what about the people dying? Well, I hate to see anybody die. But friend, God's the one that chooses and knows and what's going on, not us. And I tell you today, what I do understand is God's been faithful. He's been. I tell you right here, you're sitting in a building 32 and a half years ago. We started from scratch. We was talking a while ago, the amount of people kind of today remind us of our first service. But I'm grateful today for those who are here. But I'm going to tell you, for 32 years, there's been times when I didn't know if we was going to make it. Brother Ronnie's sitting out there, he knows. Brother Ronnie's listening to me cry sometime like a baby and say I was ready to resign, ready to give it up, throw in the towel. But I thank God I didn't, because God, time and time again, He proved His faithfulness to me, to my life, to my wife, to my family, and to a wonderful church called Victory Baptist Church and the people that make up that church. The goodness of God in my life far surpasses the bad things. Friend, today, I don't know why. When people ask, you know, they ask, why does that happen to those people? We never ask the question, why don't that happen to us? Why do we not deserve it any more than anybody else? And all I can say, it must be the mercy of God and understanding our commitment to Him, the grace of God in your life. But for the grace of God, where would I be today? I tell you, my life in the past is one of darkness. My life in the past was one of sin. But God in His mercy looked down on a foolish, stupid, young, teenage boy that was literally throwing his life to the world and got a hold of me. And God changed my life. And I tell you, God has been faithful. And only am I here today by the grace of God. And I tell you today, it makes no difference whether it's me preaching or whether it's somebody else preaching. Thank God today God still has His men that'll preach the Word of God because of the grace of God that God gives to us, the grace that God has imparted to you. Think about it. God has been faithful. Then I said a while ago, thirdly, but this is thirdly, and it's already up there, and that's fine. Think about His commitment in verses 24 through 26. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Did you notice in that passage of Scripture, He said so many times the word hope? Friend, I'm glad today that I have hope. I have hope today that he's going to direct me. In verse 2 of Lamentations 3, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. I want to encourage you. I'm reading just a little bit today, but when you get home, just read the verses prior to the one I preached on today. I hope you'll do that because it needs to be read. But I know Jeremiah said, he led me and he brought me into darkness. But yet we find over in verse 21, I'm going to recall in my mind the good things, so I'll have hope. He's going to develop me. Look at verse 21, the latter part of it. He says, therefore I have hope. Listen, today America has hope. We have hope that God's going to take care of the situation. And the reason we do is because he's done it time and time again. He's my hope. He's your hope. We need to understand the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but he that liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live in the flesh, but by the faith of the Son of God. And I kind of can't remember the rest of it, but you can look it up. Live by faith in God, I believe, as it closes out. But I tell you, God's here to develop us. And friend, that you're here this morning, you're here for a reason and a purpose. And that's so God can take the message. I pray that even those watching on the internet, the thing that I fear about that is it can become such a convenient location that it'll be easy to interrupt with all kind of things going on. And I ask you, if you're watching the internet, take time just to sit down between you and the internet and let that be as an official church service and not let other things distract you or just keep you distance from it. Like, and again, I'm just going to say it. I mean, I eat popcorn watching a football game, but that's a little different. But I tell you, even listening to the Word of God, if you want to get the full effect of it, you need to dedicate your mind and your eyes and your thoughts to God so that he can develop you. And then he's there to deliver you. In verse 26, it is good that man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And then he said, Psalm 36, verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Boy, that's a long way, isn't it? Psalm 34, verse 15 through 22, you can read it later. But I think about where he leads me, I will follow. Are you following him today? Are you trusting him today? Are you depending on him today? Because I'm telling you, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I pray today that God's spoken to your heart, and I pray today that God somehow has encouraged you through the message from the Word of God. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight, today, for the privilege and the opportunity that we've had to watch or to preach, and hopefully others have watched. And I want to invite those listening by internet and those here to allow God to speak to your heart and to determine in your mind and in your heart that you love God, that you're going to be faithful to God, and you're going to trust God. Come what may. I tell you, old Jeremiah had a rough time. But I tell you, through it all, he said, I recall in my mind. I think back. I think about the things of the past. And because I think about the past, I look forward to the future because of what my God can do. Lord, have your will and way, I pray. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do.